Welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we're about to take you right across the UK, looking at some of the stories we've been covering today, which include the serious and the silly. After all the rain we've had recently, we're going to be looking at the issue of flooding for some communities, and we're hearing about a soft play centre which has maybe taken the Halloween theming too far. My name's Louise Easton. I'm going to be your host over the next 10 minutes or so on Monday, the 21st of October, 2024. First, though, we're starting with some breaking news from court, where a Metropolitan Police marksman has been found not guilty of the murder of a man in southeast London. 40-year-old Martin Blake fatally shot Chris Cabot in Streatham back in 2022. He'd been driving a vehicle which had been linked to a shooting outside a school in Brixton the previous evening. Well, our reporter Claire Bode is at the Old Bailey tonight. Claire, tell us what happened.
It took the jury just 3 hours to decide that not guilty verdict for murder. Martin Blake told the court he thought he or one of his colleagues would be killed when Chris Cabot rammed police cars with his Audi as he tried to escape from a traffic stop. Cabot was then shot through his windscreen by Blake, but today the jury decided that was a lawful decision.
And what reactions have we had so far?
Well, Martin Blake was overcome with emotion when the verdict was given. However, the family of Chris Cabot left the courtroom in silence. When charges against Blake were announced, dozens of armed police officers downed their weapons in protest, and a debate was sparked over how police firearms officers should be held to account after shooting a fatal shot.
Thanks, Claire. Well, while we've been talking, the Met Police Commissioner, Sir Mark Rowley, has been giving a statement outside Scotland Yard.
After 2 weeks of evidence, 12 men and women have cleared Sergeant Martin Blake of murder. Over the past 2 years, Sergeant Blake has paid a huge personal and professional sacrifice. And this has been an incredibly difficult time for him and his family. And he has acted with professionalism and dignity throughout. This case has had an enormous impact on many. Chris Cabot's family and friends continue to grieve the loss of a loved one. And today will be enormously difficult for them. Today's verdict is significant. No firearms officer sets out on duty intent on ending a life. Their sole purpose is the complete opposite, the protection and the preservation of life. Throughout the trial, the jury heard significant detail about the scenes facing Sergeant Blake that night. They were told that the car Mr. Cabot was driving had been linked to a reported shooting the night before. The suspects were still at large and no gun had been recovered. Armed officers bravely intervened, not knowing the risks that they were about to face. The court heard that Mr. Cabot tried to evade police, ramming his vehicle into others all around him. Sergeant Blake made a split-second decision on what he believed was necessary to protect his colleagues and to protect London. The jury decided that was an honestly held belief and that the force used was reasonable.
That was the Met Police Commissioner, Sir Mark Rowley, reacting to Met Police marksman Martin Blake being cleared of the murder of Chris Cabot. Well, although the family left court in silence, they have issued a statement in which they say they're devastated and that this decision shows that the 24-year-old's life doesn't matter to the system. They say they'll continue to fight for justice for Chris. The police watchdog will now look at whether Martin Blake should face a disciplinary hearing. You're listening to Behind the Headlines. A couple from Surrey have told us they're never going to get over the loss of their son after handing a letter into 10 Downing Street today. Zane Bangbola passed away in 2014 and today would have been his 18th birthday. Our reporter Alex Chu can tell us more about this.
An inquest in 2016 found that Zane died by carbon monoxide poisoning, but Zane's parents, Kai and Nicole, dispute this and say he was killed by toxic gas from a landfill after his home was flooded. Speaking to me outside Downing Street, Zane's mum Nicole describes what her son was like.
Zane was the love of our lives and every moment with him was a joy, and every second without him is a lifetime lost.
Nicole also explained what they want the Prime Minister to do.
We're calling for an independent panel inquiry, the likes that Hillsborough sought, so the truth which lies in plain sight can be heard, lessons can be learned and future deaths prevented.
118,000 people have signed their petition. The Department for Environment called Zane's death tragic, adding their thoughts are with his family.
Sir Chris Hoy is being praised for opening up about his terminal prostate cancer diagnosis. The six-time Olympic gold cycling champion revealed at the weekend that doctors have told him he has between 2 and 4 years to live. More now from our senior reporter, Callum McQuaid.
This announcement has left people all over the world really shocked. Sir Keir Starmer and Scotland's First Minister John Swinney are among those sending him good wishes just now. Former Commonwealth Games Scotland chair Michael Kavanagh thinks he's one of the greatest athletes of all time.
My first experience of Chris was at the 2002 Commonwealth Games when I got a heads up from the cycling team manager Alistair McLennan that Chris was going to do something special in the velodrome that night. And then I was also fortunate enough to be in Athens when Chris won his first Olympic gold medal. So I feel really privileged to have witnessed both of those things.
I've been speaking to Professor Alex McNeil. He's the founder of Prostate Scotland. And he's telling me all men should be getting checked from the age of 45, but especially those with immediate family history of the disease.
Basically 5 to 10 years younger than your father or grandfather or brother was when diagnosed, so that you increase your chances of getting diagnosed early should you be affected.
This type of cancer is often called the silent killer because men can have it for a very long time before feeling unwell. So Chris himself says he went to the doctor initially with a shoulder pain. So it's a timely reminder for us guys to have that difficult conversation with our loved ones and most importantly ourselves.
After days of heavy rain, there are still 12 flood warnings in place across Herefordshire and Worcestershire. River levels peaked over the weekend, leading to flooding throughout parts of both counties. Our reporter Elliot Burrow is out in Worcester for us. Elliot, what's the situation like at the moment there?
I was stood here on Worcester Bridge in January when Storm Henk hit, and 9 months on from that it's the same situation. Worcestershire Cricket Club's underwater, some parked cars have been stranded in the floods, and homes and businesses have had the flood barriers up to protect themselves. I can also see from where I'm stood here that a large collection of debris has formed under the bridge itself, with some tree branches in there, amongst other things.
And when are we expecting the clean-up operation to begin?
The Environment Agency have told us that it's an improved situation, some warnings remaining in place, but those river levels are expected to gradually return to normal. Nick Green from their team says they will continue to monitor it.
Hopefully the risk of flooding reduces this week and into next week, and then we just need to keep an eye. In terms of the recovery process, we'll be working with the local authorities to help identify those communities that were flooded.
Despite this, people are still being urged to just stay alert to the possible risk of flooding until that water is gone.
OK, thanks, Elliot. Now we're heading to Northern Ireland, where the only inhabited offshore island is having a problem with rats and ferrets who are targeting the eggs of seabirds like puffins. Well, our reporter Chelsea Keeley has visited Rathlin Island on the north coast, where they've drafted in some four-legged friends for phase two of a major conservation project.
It's hoped in the next month 90% of the rats will be gone with the help of around 7,000 bait traps and a fox red lab called Woody. He was trained to sniff out ferrets for phase one, but his new role is to trace the rats. Rory Morgan from the Life Raft Project explains how he'll also help in the future.
The big thing is, I mean, it's really important that we ensure that rats don't come back to the island. Mm-hmm. And that's for Woody, and he will have a counterpart because we can't overwork him either. He gets employee rights like everyone else. That they will be really key in making sure that rats don't come back.
It's hoped in time Woody will be able to prove rats and ferrets are completely gone from the island.
Now, as we approach spooky season, many people like to dress up, but it seems a children's soft play centre in Gloucestershire may have gone too far after being forced to apologise for its choice of Halloween decorations. It follows concerns from parents, as our reporter Tom Priest explains.
Well, as you've said, it's caused some controversy. One mum who took her daughter to Rugrats and Half Pints in Cirencester says she did a double take when she spotted the decorations. Pictures we've seen online show they resemble human bodies covered in black plastic bags. Some were even wrapped up to appear to show tape bearing the words caution and danger.
So, Tom, what has the centre said in response?
So a spokesperson says it's the first time someone's brought it to their attention and they'll take them down immediately. The centre says they didn't intend to cause distress and they've apologised. This is how people felt.
OK, thanks, Tom. And finally, you may remember the story about the conker-playing pensioner who was accused of cheating. Well, David Jakins, otherwise known as King Conker, has now been cleared of the accusation. And to honour the men's Conker World Champion, a pub in Southwick has brewed a beer in his honour. Our reporter Callum McIntyre has been speaking with landlord Neil Horton.
We know David really well. He's our figurehead. And he's a friend, and he's a lovely chap. He's 82 years old. So we were really chuffed to hear he'd won, and then quite disappointed to hear that there was an investigation. Now, the Conquer Championships runs every year, and around about 2,000 people turn up. We had 256 competitors this year from all around the UK and from around the world, and they take it very, very seriously. So the committee felt it important to take the inquiry seriously and take in video, VAR as we call it, evidence, statements from the general public and statements from the judges. And that took some time to draw that together because we're all volunteers. And the conclusion there was that there was no skullduggery and no steel conquer used. So we're over the moon for David.
I'm sure it's almost been a bit of a shock with all the coverage that's come from David.
Yes. It's we're not used to it. It's to have the press of the world all over us. David has had many, many phone calls and emails. And personally, I've been on other radio stations. I've been on radio stations in New Zealand doing press releases for the USA. It seems to have captured the imagination of the world, really. It was a surprise, but we've enjoyed doing it.
Coming on to the beer that you guys have brewed, what's that like?
So it came from an idea from my wife Hilly and from Dick and Nick at the brewery to do something special for him. So we have a lovely traditional bitter on the bar now. It's named King Conquer for David, and it goes on sale tomorrow. So quite exciting.
For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.